Good morning. It was a great time to rejoice. And rejoicing is what I would like to speak about a little bit today. Christmas is a time of joy and peace, and we hear and sing Christmas carols and songs, and we see joy and peace written on Christmas cards, and they're written on windows with snowflakes and candy canes. They're even written on front of the pulpit here. But yet, we are rarely shown in people around us this joy and peace, even among Christians. Joy and peace has nothing to do with this commercialized Christmas that the world celebrates, but everything to do with knowing who Jesus is and why he came to earth. His birth gave way to proclamation of joy and peace. You turn with me to Luke 2. Luke 2, starting at verse 10, says, "Then the angels said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you: you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Today I want to be able to show you that joy and peace is a result of knowing and trusting in Jesus, because we cannot produce joy and peace in our lives on our own. We think we can. We think we do, but we only produce temporary happiness, which quickly diminishes when things we thought we had control of turn wrong for us. Peace and joy are only a result of knowing and trusting Jesus, and when we realize this, it is not a result of our own working. The quicker we realize that it is only through Jesus that our joy and peace we have, the quicker we'll have this joy and peace. If you turn with me to Philippians 4, and starting in verse 4, and this is Paul speaking. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I find this interesting that Paul is writing this letter from prison, and he's writing this letter to the Philippian church. If we look at his circumstances, they are not all that great. He's in prison awaiting to face trial before Caesar for preaching the gospel and revealing the hypocrisy among the Jewish rulers. He shouldn't be there. If we look at it from our own point of view, we would think that what he's facing is unfair. Paul is to be facing this trial. The accusations that are made against him are false. From his accusers, who were angry with him for exposing the hypocrisy that they had in their own lives, and yet God is in control of it all. It was his design that Paul was to face trial in Rome, to bring him before the Jewish leaders in Rome and the rulers of the world at that time, to present the gospel. Paul didn't look at his circumstances and think that it was unfair for him to be there in his circumstances, but that he trusted in the Lord. He laid down his own plans and accepted what God had put before him and was seeking his strength. Personally, to be able to rejoice at such a time and place, I think would be difficult for anyone. But we have to notice where Paul's joy is centered on. It wasn't his current situation or the thought of getting out. No, his joy was squarely upon Jesus. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice." I find that interesting that he says, "Rejoice always." We think this isn't just sometimes or just when everything is going our way. This is always. He's meaning this every single day. And then he repeats it again for emphasis. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice." We cannot produce this joy on our own. It is only a fruit of the Spirit. And Paul says to rejoice always. Always is for all time. We sometimes rob ourselves of this joy when our focus moves off of Jesus and becomes focused on ourselves. We try to circumvent the situation when things aren't going our way, and we circumvent what God has planned for us, even through maybe the tough times. I'm reminded of Saul before he was to battle the Philistines at Michmash. He was to wait. He was to wait for Samuel to come to bring an offering and a blessing to them before the battle. And God commanded him to wait. But instead, because his men were anxious and starting to scatter, he offered the sacrifice himself. And as soon as he finished this sacrifice, what happens? Samuel shows up and he asks him, what has he done? And because Saul, he did not trust in the Lord and to look to his strength, the kingdom of Israel was taken from him and was given to a man that was after God's own heart, which was David. This doesn't mean that we are not to ignore the problems that we are facing or that we're given into. We're supposed to give them over to the Lord, to trust him. When we trust in the Lord, we are rejoicing in his power and his control over the situation. Trusting in Jesus goes hand in hand with our joy in our lives. I'm reminded of the Ten Boom family as well. If you're familiar with the book, The Hiding Place, both the Ten Boom family during World War II were hiding the Jewish peoples from the Nazis. And in doing so, they were captured themselves and taken into concentration camps, where Corey and her sister, older sister Betsy, were taken to Ravensbrück, which was a concentration camp near Holland. And so they were taken into these concentration camps, and the whole time, these two women would praise the Lord and hold Bible studies in these concentration camps with these women that they were with. And at the one barracks that they were sent to, the toilets were all backing up, and it was just a terrible situation. It stunk. It was overcrowded. They had very little warmth in that area. And to top it all off, there was fleas everywhere. And yet, excuse me. And yet, in this time, Corey and Betsy were reminded to be thankful, even in this time, to rejoice in the Lord. And even with these fleas. And so Betsy told her sister that she was to rejoice even with the fleas and all this terrible situation that they were in, to be thankful that they were together, to be thankful to the Lord that even in the overcrowding that they had warmth in this terrible situation. And so Betsy was reminded of 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18, which says, Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so Corey, in the foul air of the barracks, started to give thanks to God for allowing both sisters to be together. They thanked God that they had their Bible with them, that made through countless check stops, and ministered to them and other women. They thanked for the overcrowding that brought warmth to them overnight. And Betsy went on to even thank for the fleas that tormented them. But it wasn't revealed to Corey until later on in her life that it was the fleas that kept the guards from the barracks when they had their Bible studies. It was the fleas, that kept these guards away, that they could have these Bible studies with these women. And it's so they, even with fleas, we can praise the Lord and his providential care through it all. These two godly women could rejoice in some of the most inhospitable living conditions, just as Paul was able to focus not on themselves, but on Jesus and those others around them. Psalm 5, verses 11 and 12 says, "But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy, because you defend them. Let also those who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. Our joy has nothing to do with our circumstances, but has everything to do with our position in Jesus Christ and to accept him as our Lord and Savior. That is where our strength and our joy comes from." And the joy that we have affects our attitude. If we read verse 5 of Philippians, it says, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." I think of the gentleness to be to all men. That means even the people that you have a hard time dealing with. That means those people that you try to ignore throughout your day. It means that everyone around you, it means that we're supposed to be gentle to all of them, to show this love, to show this joy that we have in our lives. We can rejoice as Christians together today because of the unity we have in Jesus Christ and the gentleness and the love we show to others. If you turn with me to Matthew. Matthew 11 and verse 28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." See, when we are controlled by the Spirit of the gentleness and recognize that Jesus himself is our strength, those non-essentials of life that used to cause disunity, the strife, melts away, and we're not controlled by how people treat us or what they say against us, but we are controlled by what the Lord has put upon our hearts. To forgive those who have cursed us, who have caused us pain. It is the only way to receiving this joy. Jesus came to forgive us of our sins, to pay the penalty in our place. We too, like Jesus, need to show this gentleness to all, just as those who seek forgiveness from us. But to all, even those who do not receive or look for forgiveness from us. And then we are to look at the peace that results from this. From this is the absence of anxiety. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Paul uses two indefinite pronouns here, nothing and everything. We sometimes think that when the Bible uses these indefinite words like all, everything, nothing, or always, that those words don't always apply to our current situation. But all means all, and nothing means nothing. If we are to be true Bible-believing Christians, we have to take the word of God by what it says. And it says, be anxious for nothing. Paul is telling the Philippians and us to worry about nothing, to pray about everything. Nothing is an interesting word. If you have something, it's not nothing. Nothing is absolutely nothing. And we are to worry about nothing. This doesn't mean that we don't face the realities and the problems of life, but we are not to worry about them. We are to bring them before God in prayer, to cast them before the Lord. This means that we are to talk to the Lord about everything in our lives. A woman asked her pastor once, "Do you think we should pray about the little things of our lives?" To which the pastor responded, "Ma'am, can you mention anything in your life that is too big to bring to God?" When we say that we only bring the big stuff, what does that mean? When we only bring the big stuff to God? All stuff before the Lord is small things. Only we have a huge God that can take care of any problems. As a believer, we need to be in the habit of bringing everything to God in prayer. Nothing is excluded. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says, "Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you." It doesn't say just to cast the big stuff or the really tough things in life over to him, but all. And we know how much all is. It means everything. Again, we are given these indefinite pronoun of the amount that we're supposed to give to the Lord. This shows the love of God, and that he is willing to bear it all for us on the cross. It wasn't just for some of my sin or for some of your sin. It was for all of it. Jesus bears it all before because he cares for you and me. So we don't have to be anxious about anything. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, and starting at verse 24, or 25, sorry. "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for neither they sow nor reap nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are you not more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall I eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We are to seek God and his kingdom first and his righteousness, and he will help us to endure all these things when we bring them before him. Our Lord is willing to meet all of our needs, not just some of them, but we need to trust in him. It may not be to what we expect or to what we think it should be, but it is to his plan. I don't think it was Paul's plan to be afflicted when he with a thorn of the flesh, with his eye problem. And I don't think it was a plan for the 10 Boom sisters to suffer in the barracks with overcrowdedness, the awful stench, and the severe hunger, and to top it off with the tormenting fleas. But Jesus says, My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. It is not our grace, and it is not our strength. It is the Lord Jesus. He is willing to help us to endure. We need to bring all things before him in prayer. The result of God's peace is first absence of the our anxiousness, and second, it is the attitude when we pray. We will be thankful in all things. I have read 1 Thessalonians 5:18, but it bears repeating. In everything, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. This is the reflection of Jesus' peace in our life. When we give thanks in all situations, not just the good, but in everything, real peace allows us to be thankful to God in advance of whatever answer he provides in our prayer. Because we know that he knows best, and when we submit our gratitude to his will, when we submit to our gratitude to his will, he will strengthen us to do the things that he has set before us. Fanny Crosby, which many of our hymns we sing in our book, hymn book, she has written over more than 9,000 hymns. I don't know if you've known this, but she did this all while being blind at a very young age. Well, only in about 3 months of age, she was blinded by an unfortunate trip to the doctors, which the doctor didn't know what he was doing, and she became blind at 3 months old. And yet God blessed this woman to write so many hymns about praise and glory to God. And a well-meaning preacher once said, "I think it is a great pity that the Master didn't give you sight when he showered so many other gifts upon you." And Fanny responded to the comments, "Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition to the Lord, it would have been that I would have been born blind, because when I get to heaven, the first face that I would ever see would be that of my Savior." We are to be thankful. We are to be thankful to God no matter what answers he gives to us in our prayers. We are to trust him. Romans 8:28, which is a great verse. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." We are to submit ourselves before a God who and trust him to do good in our lives according to his purpose, not always to our own purpose. You see, God has a blueprint, and we only might see just a small section of his plan, but we need to trust that he will complete what he has planned for us in our lives. And the third result of God's peace in our lives is the assurance it brings. "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We notice that we enter this passage with anxiety, with worry, and we come out of this passage with peace. Between the two, we have prayer. Have our circumstances really changed? Probably not. The storms may still be raging, the waves still rolling higher, the thunder still crackling, and although the storm has not subsided, something has happened in the individual. Something has happened to the human soul and mind. In our anxiety, we want God to change the situation, to take out the problem, to remove the pain. We ask God, give us this, don't let this happen, open this door. When we should be praying, oh God, change me. Help me to find joy in the midst of pain and suffering. This peace is beyond human suffering. It surpasses our understanding. John 14:27 says, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God may not change our circumstances, but gives you joy and peace to endure all situations when we trust in him. He is able to give us a thankful heart though through it all. Jesus says in John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We do not have to worry about anything. We can have joy and peace when we bring all things before him, before Jesus. Jesus has come into the world to save sinners. He has come into the world to be the light, to be a beacon of hope to all who seek after him. May we reflect this joy and this peace to the world around us, that we may show this the hope that we have in our Lord and Savior, especially this time of year, as we look to the coming of our Lord and Savior and the celebration of his first coming, and we look to his second coming, that we would reflect the joy and the peace that we have as Christians. For it is the through joy that we shall have a great witness to the world around us. In our joy, we can show the love of God and his strength in our own lives. May this be a wonderful encouragement to each and every one of us as we share in these Christmas times with our friends and our family, that we would reflect his joy and peace in our own lives. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you have allowed us to come to you, Lord, through prayer, Lord. That it is through prayer that is our lifeline to you, and that we can bring all petitions before us to you, that even in our struggles or our tribulations, that you will give us joy and peace, knowing that our hearts are settled upon your saving grace, Lord Jesus. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to show this love and joy to the world around us, that we would reflect your glory and your honor. We just pray, Father, for the leading of each and every one in our congregation as we reflect on your birth, Lord, and as we meet together with our friends and our family, that we would be this joy and peace to the world around us, that you would strengthen us to do these things. We ask for your blessing upon each and everyone here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.